Hi there. Today's the day of Pentecost, hence I've got my only kind of red jumper on, and it's also Reconciliation Week in Australia. So here's our sermon from this morning at St. George's. There's something really powerful about language. Language is not just for our day-to-day interactions. Language carries whole cultures and histories. My parents' mission that they served in their whole lives is committed to language. And their goal is to record the good news about Jesus in every language of the world, but particularly small languages and for oral cultures. The mission's driven by the vision from Revelation, where people from every tribe and language and nation are gathered around the throne, singing to God. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. This vision gave my parents the conviction that the Christian faith is not the religion of the white man. It's for all peoples and every culture. I remember their eyes shining with joy as they told me stories of people hearing the good news of God's love for them in Jesus for the first time in their own language. And saying, God speaks my language. Mum and Dad said that this gave people a great sense of dignity and worth. They always wanted people to know that they didn't have to speak English. They could pray to God in their own mother tongue. That vision from Revelation had its origin in the day of Pentecost that we celebrate today, what's sometimes called the birth of the church. And you can read about it in Acts chapter 2. There, just as Jesus had promised, God poured out the Holy Spirit on the disciples and they spoke in other languages. Pentecost was a Jewish harvest festival 50 days after Passover. Jews from all over the ancient world flocked to Jerusalem for the celebration. Having lived in many scattered lands over many generations, they all spoke different languages, but on this day, they were astonished to hear the wonders of God declared in their own language. They asked, "What does this mean?" And the Apostle Peter got up and told them. God had promised that one day he would pour out his Holy Spirit on all people, and that day had now come. Christ had died. He'd risen from the dead. He ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and poured out what you now see and hear. And all who repent and are baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, Peter said. This promise is for all people. This promise is for you. That vision of people from all languages and cultures gathered around God's throne has always and continues to be difficult to realize. In Acts 10, we see it took the deliberate work and miraculous work of the Holy Spirit to teach the first Jewish followers of Jesus that the good news of Jesus wasn't just for Jews of different languages, but for all people and cultures. Those differences of language and culture, they always threaten to divide. It's a natural human tendency of us and them. In Ephesians chapter 2, we see how God is at work to overcome that division. In verse 14, we read, "For Christ himself is our peace, who has made the two one, and destroyed the barrier, that dividing wall of hostility. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who are near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." Through the cross, we're not only reconciled to God, we are also reconciled to each other. Through the cross, the barriers that stand between people can be torn down. Through Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are brought into the very presence of the Father. And by the power of the Spirit, those differences of language and culture can become gifts for the strengthening and building of the church. And the Spirit is at work to soften our hearts toward each other so we can love and listen and learn and own our own failings and say sorry and repent and forgive and embrace and work together. We meet together in Christ. He is the one who has carried our sorrows and borne our sufferings. He suffered for both the oppressed and the oppressor. In him we can meet and receive each other as sisters and brothers. That's the spiritual reality, and we are called to live out that reality concretely in the church. We enjoy great prosperity in Australia, but this prosperity has been purchased at the price of the dispossession of the lands of our first peoples, the destruction of their languages and cultures, and their loss of life. Some have called this Australia's original sin. I confess, I don't know what living out Christ's reconciliation might look like when it comes to the wounds of our nation's history. I've got some suggestions, perhaps just a start, in our own churches and homes. In Galatians 6, Paul tells us to bear each other's burdens, and in doing so, you fulfill Christ's law of love. Our Indigenous sisters and brothers bear the great burden of this conflicted history, and we are called to shoulder it with them. In Ephesians 4, we read that the body of Christ grows as we speak the truth in love. We need to listen to the voices of our Indigenous brothers and sisters as they speak the truth about the history of our land. Listening is the first act of love. It makes space for our neighbour, our sister, our brother. It invites friendship. It opens the possibility to learning. In listening, we say that we are willing to see things from your perspective. We listen because we don't know how to make things right. We need our Indigenous brothers and sisters to tell us the way forward. As we listen to the truth from our Indigenous brothers and sisters, we may find that we're moved to lament. I know personally, my parents have given me a heart for people to have the good news of Jesus in their heart language. When the British arrived in Australia, there were over 250 different languages across the continent. Now, only 18 remain strong, and some 80 exist in a highly vulnerable way. It is to the shame of the church in Australia that it was only in 2007 that the first full translation of the whole Bible into any Aboriginal language was published. I weep because my people have destroyed the other God-given languages of this land, and with them, the culture and heritage of their peoples. As we listen, we may find we need to confess the truth that we benefit from the historic injustices wrought by our ancestors. We may find we need to say sorry and commit to seeking justice in the present. God has given us all the resources needed for reconciliation in his Son, in the power of the Holy Spirit. I say that in faith because in truth it feels so far beyond us at times. My hope is that we as the church may be able to take up our calling to be servants of reconciliation and model to and lead our nation in reconciliation. At St. George's, we've been working our way through the Lord's Prayer. We pray your kingdom come. This is a prayer for us to work for a just and equitable future for all people. And this starts at home in addressing the injustices in our nation's past and present. We pray your will be done. And God's will is that all things be reconciled to him through Christ, and that in Christ we might be reconciled to each other. We pray, forgive us our sins. In this prayer, we acknowledge our past and we ask for grace to change. In the power of the Holy Spirit, as we pray, let us commit to listen, to learn, to lament, and to act for justice. In Jesus' name, amen.